The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He does not know how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may see it. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In a little book entitled Free to Be, the Reverend Dr. James Nesigan begins his commentary on the third commandment, talking about words. Okay, actually, he talks about the way words just encompass every facet of our life. As we begin the sermon today, in the series of Ten Commandments, we will begin talking about the word and how it comes to us. But you think about it, in the time that you wake up in the morning, say this morning or yesterday morning, from the time that you first opened your eyes until the time when you finally fell asleep in the evening, words shaped every moment, every second of your day. You know, I did a Google search the other day concerning the number of words that people speak on a daily basis. And even the researchers can't seem to agree on it. Some researchers say the average person says somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 16,000 words a day. Others say it's more like 19 or 20,000. Then there's those researchers who must really be chatterboxes, because some of them say that people speak on the average 47,000 words a day. That's a lot of days. Okay, that's a lot of words. I'm sorry. You know, the typical sermon that I write, when I write a manuscript out, I try to hold it between 1,200 and 1,300 words. It's not always working that way, but you know, that's the ballpark that I go, because that's about 15 minutes worth of talking. So you think about 47,000 words. Boy, that's a lot of talking. You know, but if we're not busy speaking words, if we're not busy talking and using words, then the other part of the time we're actually listening or hearing other people's words. So if we're speaking 20,000 words a day, we're probably also hearing at least 20,000 words a day. We're hearing the words spoken by others. Words surround our existence. And when we're not speaking or when we're not listening, words still dominate our day like any other thing. Words jump out at us at the pages of a book, at the box, you know, recipe on the back of a box of rice or something. Everything that you see, everything that you touch, everywhere you look, there's either words printed on it, or you're thinking to yourself words that describe the thing that you're looking at. Words even fill our minds when we sleep. You go to bed at night, you finally fall asleep, and then your mind begins to dream. And when we dream, words come to the forefront. Words come to us in so many different ways. Words that are spoken softly. Words that are spoken harshly. Words that are spoken with affection. Words that are spoken in anger. Words that express love. Words that express hate. Some words can be helpful. Some words can be extremely harmful. But when you think about it, even when you think, you're thinking in words. When you think about it, there is never, ever a waking moment where words aren't there at the tip, you know, right there in the front of your mind. There's one word, however, one word that comes to us differently. That one word that comes to us differently is always spoken in love. It's a word that's meant to build us up. It's a word that's meant to reassure us, refresh us when we're weary. It's a word that comes to us to restore us when we're weak. It's a word to come and calm us when we're anxious. It's a word that even reaches out and saves us from the brink of death. It's God's word. It's the word that comes to us in Holy Scripture. It's the word that was handed down through the ages by the apostles, the word Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, we learned that God has already made a decision about us. We learned that God has decided for each one of us that He will be our God. And subsequently, we will be His people. He decided that He will be our God, and He decided that He's going to put His name on our lips so that we can call out to Him in every prayer, every praise, every thanksgiving, and every time of trouble. God made this decision about each and every one of us before each and every one of us even was born. And God's not going to abandon you in this earthly life. God is not going to let you live this life alone. God is going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you His word. He's going to tell you how much He loves you. He's going to fill your heart and your mind with words of faith, with words of life. He's going to fill your hearts and minds with these words if you will only listen to them. Today, as we continue this journey through the Ten Commandments, we take a closer look at the third commandment: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In the Small Catechism, Martin Luther says, "We should fear and love God so that we may not despise the preaching of His word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn from it." There's no word more powerful than the word of God. There's no word more powerful than God's spoken word to you, God's incarnate word, Jesus Christ. Even if we fill our lives with so many things to do and so many places to go, God is going to continually speak to us His word. The commandment concerning the Sabbath is given so that we will take time, time to listen, time to slow down, time to rest, time to quiet our busy minds, so that we might be filled not with the noisy words of this life, but with the life-giving word of Jesus Christ Himself, the word that saves us from sin. Make no mistake, the world, the devil, and all the powers that defy God, they don't want you to hear this word. They don't want you to hear this word read to you. They don't want you to hear this word preached to you. And they certainly don't want you to read this word on your own. These powers will stop at nothing from plugging your ears and filling your mind with all kinds of senseless noise so that you don't hear the word of God and receive it gladly. And, you know, when the devil is not so busy filling your heart and your mind with all these things and all his tricks and all these ways of pulling you away or snatching the word from your hand, if they're not successful at keeping you away from worship and gathering with the faithful, then they convince you that you don't need to do this, that you can experience God on your own. There are so many people that fall for this trick of the devil. So many people that fall for the sense of this false notion of having religion on your own. They trick you into this false sense of security, this understanding that you don't need to gather with the church in order to be a Christian. The devil stops at nothing to plug your ears so that you won't hear the Word of God. He gives you the sense that you already know everything there is to know about God. You already know everything that you need to know to be saved, that there's no way that you could possibly learn anything else from God's Word. He's such a crafty adversary. Sneaks up on us without us even knowing it. Causes some people to say things like, I feel so close to God when I'm in nature. I feel so close to God when I'm working in my garden. Or things like, I can experience God on my own in my favorite place. And my favorite one is, you know, I am a Christian, but I don't need to go to church to show how much I love God. Did you see the small word that's central to all of those statements? It's a one-letter word. It starts with an I, ends with an I, has an I in the middle. I don't need, I know this much. I'm so close. The first commandment takes a header on that one. Have no other gods. When we start to put ourselves at the center of the universe, we break the first commandment. We become a god unto ourselves. How can we hear the word of God if we ourselves put ourselves in the place of God? When we're confronted by the word of God, earthly powers will stop at nothing to prevent us from hearing it. In our gospel text today, Jesus is in the midst of teaching a large crowd. Teaching a large crowd about the kingdom of God. So many have come to hear his teaching. So many have come to witness the teaching of Christ. But they don't understand the things that he's teaching them. With the crowd that's there, there's a lot of the people who have come. They're seeking the Messiah in earnest. They're looking for the one whom God has sent. But there's also those who come because they heard of the miracles that Jesus is doing. Because they want to be fed. Because they want to be healed. Because they want something for themselves. Or they want the assurance that they're on the right path. They want some sort of benefit from this one that's understood works great miracles. In the fourth chapter of Mark, Jesus likens the kingdom of God to a sower who sows field, scatters seed all over. It falls on the path. It falls on the rocky ground. It falls in the thorns. The only seed that produces fruit, the only seed that prospers is that which falls on good soil. And with today's parables, the mystery continues. A farmer scatters seed and it grows, but he doesn't know how. He just trusts and relies on God that it will grow. Or the kingdom of God is like that tiny mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it becomes the largest of the plants that the birds of the air might make nests in it and receive shade from it. In all of these things, in all of these teaching of the parables, with the great crowd that's gathered around Jesus, it's only the disciples who ask for further definition. It's only the disciples who ask for further explanation. Only those who are following Jesus and dwelling with him and dwelling in the teaching of his word seek the wisdom of God and an opportunity to draw into a closer relationship. The saint within us is like those disciples. The saint within us longs to hear God's word, longs to receive the message of God's grace, longs to read God's word and learn from it, to grow in faith, hope, and love, and trust in God. But the sinner can think of so many reasons why we don't need to hear it. The devil plugs our ears to the scriptures and the preaching of it and tries to convince us that we have it down pat. There's no need for further explanation. You got it covered. In this, the devil scores a win. He scores a win by depriving those who long to come to understand and to know the Messiah, the one who saves, the ones who long to have a deeper relationship with Christ. The devil scores a win by keeping them apart from the community of believers. Those who can share their faith and strengthen others through that. Those of us who can make one another stronger simply by sharing our faith together and hearing God's word together. And so God commands us, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things, so that we do not despise preaching or His word, but gladly hear and learn from it. And the word God would have us hear is Jesus. The word that God would have us hear is the word of His saving grace that comes through Christ the Lord. The word that God would have us receive in gladness is the good news of the forgiveness of our sins, that forgiveness that comes to us in real and certain ways, especially today as we share the bread and the wine, the supper of Christ our Lord Himself. People of God, this is the word of life. With so many words that dominate our life every single day, this one single word is the word of life. It's the one that God demonstrates to you just how much He loves you. He loves you so much that He would decide to be your God forever. He would put His name upon your lips so that you may call upon Him in every single prayer and thanksgiving. It's the word that describes the love of God so much that He would come into this world, take upon Himself human flesh, offer His life, so that we may no longer die to sin, that we may be raised to new life in Christ Jesus. That's the word that God would have us hear. That's the word that God would command us to take one day in seven, to rest from all of these other aspects of our busy earthly life, to put those things on the shelf, to gather with the faithful, to gather and hear God's word in prayer, in song, in preaching, in reading, and gladly learn from it the word that restores life, the word that forgives sins, the word that grants eternal life with God in heaven. It's the same word that God speaks to us every single day, but especially on the Sabbath as we gather for rest and respite from a life filled with busyness, confusion, and doubt. So that we can grow in faith, so that we can share faith with others, and so that we can live in the company of God's people forever. And so God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so therefore we are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things, so that we do not despise preaching or His word, but gladly hear and learn from it. And as Martin Luther concludes, as he does with all the commandments, this is most certainly true. Amen.